There is a fifth dimension, beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area which we call the Twilight Zone.
A man changes attire for an attractive young lady wearing a stylish hat.
Her name is Nan Adams. She's 27 years old. Her occupation, buyer at a New York department store. At present on vacation, driving cross-country to Los Angeles, California from Manhattan.
The man goes to lower the jack.
How fast were you going, Mace?
Oh, 60, 65, something like that.
Blowout, skid marks, shoulders like pudding, and going 65 miles an hour. Lady, you're on the side of the angels. By rights, you shouldn't have called for a mechanic. Somebody should have called for a hearse. Just follow me into town, miss. I'll see if I can fix you up with a new tire.
Thank you.
Minor incident on Highway 11 in Pennsylvania. Perhaps to be filed away under accidents you walk away from. But from this moment on, Nan Adams' companion on a trip to California will be terror. Her route, fear. Her destination, quite unknown.
She drives past a hitchhiker on the side of the road, a middle-aged man in a dark suit, an open-collared shirt, and a rumpled hat. At the service station.
It's $5 for the call, $22.10 for the tire. The tax $260, whole thing comes to $29.70.
Cheaper than a funeral, isn't it?
You can say that again.
After she hands him the cash, she sees in the car's side view mirror the same hitchhiker. She stares at him and her face freezes.
Here you are, miss. Change from your 220s. Check the other tires for you. They look okay. Anything wrong?
No. No, nothing's wrong. I was just looking at that hitchhiker.
What hitchhiker?
She turns and looks.
He's gone now. I guess he got picked up.
Probably.
Funny, though, I saw him a little while ago while you were changing the tire.
Hey, he probably got a lift right after we passed him.
Probably. Thank you very much for all your help.
It's okay, miss. Have a nice, safe trip.
He turns away.
Thank you.
She gets in the car and drives off. As she turns back onto the road, the hitchhiker appears behind her. He turns his head in her direction. Along the road, she passes him again. She looks back over her shoulder at him.
I saw him again 50 miles further on. And then again on the long straight stretch through Virginia. Just standing there. Not menacing, really. If anything, drab. A little mousy. Just a shabby, silly-looking scarecrow man. I shouldn't even think about him at all, but it's the coincidence of the thing. The fact that wherever I go, there he is. Wherever I stop, I see him. No matter how far I travel or how fast I go, he's ahead of me. I'm on a turnpike now. I don't know why it is, but I'm frightened. A fear just about as vague as its object. Maybe it isn't really a fear, it's more just a sense of disquiet. A feeling that things are a little wrong. It's vague because that's what that hitchhiker is. He's vague. I wonder why it is he's always there. I wonder why I can't shake him.
At a diner, she examines a map.
Get many hitchhikers around here?
Hitchhikers? Here? Whew.
Rare, huh?
Well, it couldn't be no rarer. Guy'd be a fool hitching a ride on a turnpike. But look at it. Miles and miles of straightaway and practically no speed limit. Now, what car's gonna stop and pick up a guy under those conditions? Would you?
No, I wouldn't.
Well, now, a guy might get a ride before the turnpike starts. You know, maybe by the toll house or something. But even then, it would be a mighty long ride. Most cars wouldn't want to pick up a guy for that long a ride.
She leaves the tip.
And then, you know, it's kind of lonely country around here.
She gets up.
Flat land, hills, that sort of thing. You didn't see anyone hitching, did you?
No, I didn't see anyone like that. I was just wondering, that's all.
She closes her handbag and turns to leave. Then turns back.
Something wrong, miss?
I don't know. I was just thinking how good it's going to be to be able to stop driving.
Slowly stepping backwards towards the exit.
It's getting so that... I hate that car.
She runs out of the diner. Back on a two-lane road. A man stands on the center line in front of a barrier.
You'll have to wait a minute, miss. Instruction ahead.
She stops the car.
All right.
She opens the door, but then slams it shut when she sees the hitchhiker walking up from behind her car. She cringes as he reaches the right side of the car.
Heading west?
No! No, I'm not heading west. I'm sorry. I'm not heading west. I'm just going up the road a little ways.
She pulls out and drives around the barrier. As she rounds a curve, the hitchhiker appears again. She stops at a railroad crossing, looks to her left, and sees the train coming in the distance. Ahead of her, the hitchhiker. She starts to drive off, but the car stalls, right over the tracks. Again and again, she tries to start the car. Just as the train approaches, she backs up. She watches the train pass. She blinks her eyes, and the man is gone.
Now the fear is no longer vague. The terror isn't formless. It has a form. He was beckoning me. That thin gray man in the cheap, shabby suit, he was beckoning me. He wanted me to start across. He wanted me to die. I know that now. I don't know what to do now. I don't know if I should turn around and go back to New York or go on ahead. Stabbing little thoughts gouge my brain. Ugly, frightened thoughts. Projections of tomorrow and the next day. Driving through plains, driving through the desert. Unspeakably, nightmarishly alone. And I know I'll see him. I'll see him at detours, at railroad crossings. He'll be looking at me at stoplights. I don't know what to do now. I don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do.
She breaks into sobs. As the car passes through a tunnel, the hitchhiker waits just beyond the darkness. She passes him and then looks back at him over her shoulder.
3 days and three nights now driving, past Tennessee into Arkansas. 3 days and three nights. Stop for food and then drive, stop for food and then drive, stop for food. And the routine goes on. Towns go by without names, landscapes without form. Now it isn't even a trip, it's flight. Route 80 isn't a highway anymore, it's an escape route. So I keep going, conscious of only one thing. I've got to get where I'm going, and I can't let that hitchhiker close in on me.
At night.
On the fourth day, halfway across New Mexico, I took a side road, hoping to lose the hitchhiker. At 11 o'clock at night, the engine stopped, and I sit there in the front seat, refrigerated by fear, out of gas.
She grabs her handbag and gets out of the car. She runs down the road, past a sign that reads, "Gas eats just ahead." She reads the sign, then turns her head and continues to run. She reaches a service station. A light turns on in a window. A man opens the window.
Yeah? What is it? What do you want?
I'm out of gas.
Running towards the window.
My car's down the road, just a quarter of a mile or so.
Well, come back in the morning and we'll fix you up.
Please, I can't stay here all night. I have to have some gas.
Lady, it must be past midnight.
It's only a little bit after 11.
Well, we close up here at 9.
Please, I've got to have a can of gas. I just can't stay there by myself. There's a very suspicious-looking man there.
What about this man? What was he doing?
Nothing. He just stands there, and I've been seeing this man all the time, but he just stands there, and he doesn't do anything.
That's nothing to wake a man up in the middle of his sleep about.
I think he's trying to rob me.
Well, if he does, then you come back here and I'll call the sheriff.
No, please help me.
The man closes the curtains. She continues to face the window when, from behind, a man puts his hand on her shoulder. She turns around.
Lady?
The man in a sailor's uniform.
Yes, that's what I am. I'm a lady.
What are you doing out so late? You work here? This your place?
No. I ran out of gas. I'm just a little bit ways down the road, but this man here won't give me any gas.
Well, I saw your car. You know you left your keys in it.
Do you live around here?
No. I'm on my way back from leave.
Where are you headed?
Back to my ship. San Diego. That's where she is. That's where I'm heading, San Diego.
Do you want a ride?
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding. I mean it. I'll take you all the way into San Diego. Will you drive with me?
Look, lady, you don't have to ask twice. You got yourself a rider, honest.
I don't have any gas, though.
We'll fix that up. You try the people here?
Well, the man's in bed.
Well, let's get him out of bed. Hey, Pop! You got some customers out here!
The sailor carries a gas can and walks with Nan back to the car. The headlights are still on. Back on the road.
Say, do you mind if I take off my shoes? My feet feel like two hot bricks.
No, go right ahead.
Thanks. You know, I keep thinking I'll wake up or something. Middle of the night, no cars, no nothing. Who do I meet? A lady who looks like a movie star. When I tell the guys on the ship, do you know what the odds are for even one guy believing me? I said, do you know what the odds are for one guy to believe me?
I'll write an affidavit. We can get a notary to sign it.
He manages a laugh and continues to look at her.
You hitchhike much?
Well, back and forth on leave, mostly. It's kind of tough in this open country. Trucks are all right, they'll pick you up. But you have trouble with cars. You know, most people in cars won't pick up hitchhikers at night.
Oh, I suppose not.
She glances at him.
I bet if you got a good pickup in a fast car, you could go places faster than say, another person in another car.
I suppose.
Well, take me, for instance. Suppose I'm driving across the country at a nice steady clip of about, 45 miles an hour. Couldn't a fellow like you, standing beside the road waiting for a lift, beat me to town after town, provided he got picked up every time in a car going about 65 to 70 miles an hour? Couldn't he?
Turning to him.
I suppose. Maybe he couldn't, maybe he couldn't. What difference does it make?
No difference, really. Just a silly kind of idea I had here, sitting in the car.
Yeah. I guess it's a good way to spend your time, though.
Her smile fades, and suddenly she swerves back and forth. The sailor grabs the wheel to steady it.
What's going on? What's the matter?
Did you see that man?
Who?
The man, you must have seen him. The one standing beside the road.
Honey, I didn't see anybody. There was nothing there. What are you trying to do, run us off the road or something?
What, a thin, kind of gray-looking man?
I didn't see anybody. Lady, you must be overtired or something. I didn't see nobody, nothing.
I saw him.
Again, she swerves as the hitchhiker reappears. She pulls over to the side of the road.
Look, lady. Maybe you better let me drive, huh?
You must have seen him that time.
I didn't see anybody. What were you trying to do?
I was trying to hit him.
What?
That's right. I was trying to hit him. I thought maybe if I could kill him, I could make him stop.
The sailor backs away from her.
Where are you going?
No place in particular, just out of sight. I'm going to go any place that puts distance between me and this automobile.
Please don't go. I don't know what came over me. Don't go.
Look, baby, I'd like to get back to my ship in one piece and drive him with you. That is a lousy guarantee I'll ever make it.
Please, don't go. I promise I'll drive more carefully now. I promise.
I'm sorry, lady. I'm sorry, but you'll have to excuse me.
You can't go. You understand that? You just can't go. I'll take you all the way into San Diego. I'll drive you right to the docks. I promise.
Thanks. But no thanks.
Look, I like you. I really like you very much. As a matter of fact, that's why I picked you up, because I liked you. I thought that we could be friends, and I'd kind of like for you to take me out. Really. Please?
I'm sorry, ma'am.
She holds onto his arm as he gets out of the car.
Look, I know you think I'm out of my mind or something, but I've been seeing this man. He's been following me all the way across the country. And if you could only help me and just stay with me till I reach the coast, please don't go. Please.
Excuse me, my shoes. You listen, honey. What you need is a good night's sleep. You don't need a boyfriend. Just a good night's sleep. I'll see you around.
No! Don't go! Don't go!
She drives up to a diner. Gets out of the car.
Now I'm outside of a diner near Tucson. There's a payphone outside, and I'm going to call home. Back to New York. Put in a call to my mother, so I can speak to someone familiar. Someone I love. Someone to bring back reality to me. Just a voice. A warm, familiar voice, so I won't lose my mind.
Operator, I'd like to make a call to my home in New York City. My name is Nan Adams. The telephone number is Trafalgar 4-1098.
A woman answers the phone.
Hello, Mother.
This is Mrs. Adams' residence. Whom do you wish to speak to, please?
Who's this?
This is Mrs. Whitney.
Mrs. Whitney? I don't know any Mrs. Whitney. Is this Trafalgar 4-1098?
Yes, it is.
Where's my mother? Where's Mrs. Adams?
She's still in the hospital. A nervous breakdown.
Nervous breakdown? But there's nothing the matter with my mother. What do you mean, a nervous breakdown?
Well, it's all taken place since the death of her daughter.
The death of her daughter? What do you mean, the death of her daughter? Who's this? What number is this?
It's all been very sudden. Nan was killed just 6 days ago in an automobile accident in Pennsylvania. A tire blew out and her car turned over.
Nan lowers the receiver. Steps out of the phone booth.
Very odd. The fear has left me now. I'm numb. I have no feeling. It's as if someone had pulled out some kind of a plug in me and everything, emotion, feeling, fear, has drained out. And now I'm a cold shell.
She looks upward.
I'm conscious of things around me now. The vast night of Arizona. The stars that look down from the darkness. Ahead of me stretch 1,000 miles of empty mesa. Mountains, prairies, desert. Somewhere among them, he's waiting for me. Somewhere I'll find out who he is. I'll find out. I'll find out what he wants. Though just now, for the first time, looking out at the night, I think I know. I think I know.
She gets back in the car. Pulls down the visor mirror, in which appears the face of the hitchhiker.
I believe you're going my way.
Nan Adams, age 27. She was driving to California, to Los Angeles. She didn't make it. There was a detour. Through the Twilight Zone.
Credits. Directed by Alvin Ganzer. Teleplay by Rod Serling. Based on the radio play by Lucille Fletcher. Produced by Buck Houghton. Executive producer for Cayuga Productions, Rod Serling. Starring Inger Stevens. With Adam Williams, Lou Gallo, Leonard Strong, Russ Bunder, George Mitchell. Director of Photography, George T. Clemens. Production Manager, Ralph W. Nelson. Art Directors, George W. Davis, William Ferrari. Assistant Director, Edward Denault. Casting, Mildred Goose. Film Editor, Bill Mosher. Set Decorations, Henry Grace, Rudy Butler. Sound, Frank Milton, Gene Valentino. Animated Title by UPA. Copyright 1959 by Cayuga Productions, Inc. Filmed at Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios. Audio description by Lou Lasher.